Lord of all, we came today hoping to meet you, to feel you, to sense you, to know your healing, to have you show us the way. We thank you, Lord, that you're here. And we ask you to help us tune our hearts and minds to you, that we may sense the ever-present leading and touch of your Spirit. We came with many burdens today, and we came with cares for those we love. Hear now the names and needs of those that we love, those that need your healing touch. We thank you for your work in our lives and for the work that you do, Lord, in the lives of those we love. We thank you that Karen is more and more awake. We thank you that Zach is able to be home. We pray that you be with Laura Overby and her family as she is in Tampa with her mother. We pray that you help us, show us how to be the hands and feet and words and ears of you, representing you and sharing your love in all this world. And as we look around this world, Lord, we pray for those who are far from home, those who are fighting, soldiers, wars. We pray for those down the street who are hungry and don't know how they're going to pay their bills. We pray for peace in our homes and peace in our hearts. Lord, be with us, we pray. Amen. We do need other people, and not just for parties or to play Marco Polo. But honestly, is there really anything more annoying sometimes than other people? We don't get too ticked off at things, but we get furious at people. We aren't hurt by sickness nearly as much as we're hurt by others. It's a sad state we people are in, created in the image of God, designed for community and fellowship with others. We're made to know the same sort of intimacy that God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit share. Perfect, unbroken union. But we are a messed up and fallen people, so our relationships are messed up. Even the best of them. We're selfish. We have thin skins. We hurt each other. Someone has a different opinion than we do, and suddenly our fellowship is broken. As if we're all supposed to be clones, just exact copies of each other. That's not how God made us, but we can't bear that other opinion. Or someone dares to correct or question us when we already know perfectly well that we don't need their input on this or any other matter, right? Because after all, if I needed your help, I would have. We use others and we're used by them. It's a push-pull relationship with even the closest of friends, the fondest of co-workers, the best of marriages, us needing and wanting intimacy. And also needing and wanting independence. Jason Gray captured this tension beautifully in this song. We do really want to be known, but our fear and our past hurts keep us away. And that's how we ended up here. Where the person sitting next to us probably doesn't know what keeps us awake at night or what makes us cry in the car on the way home. They don't know our greatest need. They don't know the best way to pray for us. And we sit here in church, surrounded by all these people, and still feel lonely. We smile at each other week after week, but we don't even know many names. We sing the songs and say the prayers, and we wonder why we feel so alone, all by ourselves, in a big room of people, thinking that we are the only ones who fought on the way here this morning. or that we are the only ones who can't pay the bills, or who are facing a health crisis, or maybe losing our jobs or losing our marriages. We feel isolated like that because we're wired for intimacy that we're just not experiencing. We're made for community we're not feeling. We're designed for a fellowship few of us have found. So we feel disconnected and we miss a few weeks here at church, and before you know it, Sunday has become like any other day where we'd rather sleep late and cut the grass and run the errands and catch up on the laundry than to come here and feel alone. After Jesus died, many of the Hebrew people, the Jews, became Christians. They began to meet together and share together and do life together, take care of each other. But it wasn't easy for them to be Christians. They were discouraged, and many of them other people didn't understand their new faith. They were persecuted, some of them ostracized. Some of them even faced martyrdom. And those early Christians just got tired of it. And some of them began quietly to drift away, like we sometimes do. In our Bibles, the letter to the Hebrews was written to that group of people. It was written to encourage them to hold on to their faith and to hold on to each other. Here's a portion of that letter now. It says, "Let us consider how we can spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit, but encouraging one another, all the more as you see the day approaching." This is the word of God for we people of God. Thanks be to God. When we feel like giving up, when we feel like quitting, this author says, don't give up. Keep meeting together. Keep encouraging each other. Keep putting in yourself in places where you can support others and others can support you. Meeting for worship and in small groups for fellowship and support has always been the way of our faith. There were great crowds and multitudes who followed Jesus, but Jesus called just a small group of men to himself. 12 ordinary, everyday men. They ate together, traveled together, talked, slept, walked, fished, prayed, slept. They did life together. They invested in each other, and Jesus taught them to love each other, even though they were very different, strangely different to each other. The early church followed this same model of small groups meeting together, little pockets of believers who gathered to support one another and to share the good news. And it has always been the love of these small groups that drew more people to Jesus. The greatest evangelical tools all throughout history has never been what preachers have said and done. It has always been the love that Christians showed for one another. They'll know we are Christians by our love. That's why being a part of a small group is so important. That's why Michael has brought together some new opportunities for us in this season leading up to Easter to meet together, to learn together, because it's in these small, intimate gatherings of people sharing life together that we will be held up when we're ready to fall. It's there that we'll learn what love really means. That's what we find when we do life together. Some of you have already experienced that here. We find a welcome as if we're honored guests, even if it's our first time here. We find people who are sensitive to our needs and our fears and our backgrounds and our hang-ups and even our weird little quirks. We find people who will soothe and calm our spirits and give us hope. People who will pray for us even when we can't pray for ourselves. Send notes of encouragement that come at just the right time. People who call to check on us when we've begun to drift away. Have you experienced that here? The people we share life with show us how simple it is to love others, to help strangers, to serve the needy. They're kind, they're compassionate, self-sacrificing and loving. We see the love of Christ lived out in their lives, And they make us believe that we can do that too. And then they show us how and cheer us on when we get it right. When we are in crisis, they show up with food, too much food. They'll mow our lawns and change our oil and fix our cars when we can't. They send us gift cards and checks when we're out of work. These are the people who will do our laundry and run our errands and buy our groceries and take our kids to school. They'll teach our children, protect our children, pray for our children. They will even cry with us over our children. They will drive us to rehab or sit with us as we receive a chemo treatment, and then they'll wipe our chins when those treatments make us sick. They show up at the hospital, at the visitation, at the funeral. They show up in our lives when everyone else is running out. They will stay with your mom until you can get there. They'll take off work and make the drive just to be with you in your time of sorrow. They'll remember your first Father's Day without him and the birthday of your baby who died. They will hold us when our marriage has failed and stand by us after everyone else thinks we should already be over it. They let us tell our story as many times as we need to. And when we're embarrassed to admit how messed up we've let our lives get, instead of judging us, they give us wisdom and patience, grace and love. They share their faith with us, their struggles and their trust. And perhaps the greatest gift of all is that these same people who do all of these things for us will give us the high and holy privilege of being able to do those things for them as well. These people that we share our lives with will love us as they love themselves and lay down their lives for us. We meet Jesus in them, the love of God revealed again in human flesh. When we dare to share our lives with others, we're not going to find perfect people, but we will find out what love really means. Amen.
Jesus wanted us to know how much we needed him in us and with us, and he wanted us to know how much we need each other. And so he came up with what we call the sacrament of Holy Communion. If he hadn't given this to us long ago, we would have had to make it up ourselves. You know, there's what Jesus did that showed his people how much he loved them is he ate with them bread. He, even to the very end, even on the day of resurrection, he shared bread and cup. It was his way of saying, I'm with you. And, of course, when we eat with each other, you know, what makes us closer friends than let's do lunch or come to my house and eat. I want to serve you. I want to cook you a meal. They bind us to God. They bind us to each other. And so we have this sacrament. Everybody here is welcome to be a part of this today. If you're a member of this church or another church or no church, you're welcome. If you want to be closer to Christ, if you want the forgiveness he offers, if you want to say yes to him being more in your life, if you need to be reconciled to somebody that you're crossways with, you are welcomed here. Our custom is to come sort of by the center aisles. You can go this way or this way. Somebody will have a tray of bread. You take a piece. There'll be a tray of little cups. You take a cup. You eat and drink. And then somebody will take the cup and you can go back to where you are. Everybody is welcome. Children, adults, everyone is welcome here. This is the Lord's table. It's not just the table of this church. It's for all. Let us pray. Lord, we remember Jesus, how he was you among us, how he shared our life, how he called people together, to love each other and to love God. We remember how he fed people, even people that would betray him or hurt him, even people that had forgotten him. He never forgot them. And so we give thanks for his presence as the risen Christ with us. Lord, transform this ordinary bread and this ordinary cup into the very presence of Christ in our lives. Draw us close to you, God, through Jesus. Draw us close to one another. Lord, make this be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we as a people might be the body of Christ for this world, making his love real. All this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. I invite those who are to share in the serving, if you would come first, please.
Would you please stand? Death by announcements. Let us say this benediction together as we go out in the week. May the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. I pray that this week you share the love of God and that you experience the love of God in others. Amen.